Sander Hicks, welcome. Pleasure as always.
Thank you, Don. Thanks for having me on your show.
So let's talk about this event.
Great. Well, we are inspired. It's called Incandescent Compassion, a benefit concert for Doctors Without Borders in Syria. You know, Syria was in the headlines quite extensively with all the refugee crisis in Europe that was caused by United States imperialism. And so we're doing something about it. We're getting some really great radical musicians together. My own band, White Collar Crime, with David Rovix, one of the greatest anti-war singer-songwriters of all time.
Yeah,
he's on a
great
world tour.
Yeah.
So we've got David Rovix, Jeffrey Lewis, Dean Killian, Sparrow, and the band Mobile Steam Unit.
Yeah,
and
Jeffrey's video, by the way, is the coolest claymation rock video I think I've ever seen.
Isn't it great? Yeah, Jeffrey great, Lewis is quite a genius. I got into him because I heard him first on the Pandora channel for Kimya Dawson. So if people like Kimya Dawson, you'll love Jeffrey Lewis and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm glad you saw that, Don.
Yeah, it was cool. So
let me get the quick who, what, where out of the way. It's March 15th. It's at Pianos in the Lower East Side.
Of New York City.
New York City, exactly. So fly in from wherever you are into the city of New York on a cheap flight and get here Tuesday night, March 15th, starts at 7, ends at midnight. It's at Pianos in the Lower East Side of Manhattan.
And if you're in town for that, you might as well hang out for the St. Patty's Day Parade on Thursday.
Exactly. Get your gay self down to St. Patty's Day.
So who are you raising money for and why?
Well, it's Doctors Without Borders, which is a really great progressive group. You know, they've ticked off Israel for being insufficiently pro-Israeli, and that's all right by me. They've done work in the occupied territories. They've done work worldwide as a humanitarian organization that provides, medical attention to underprivileged people, refugees, poor people. Recently one of their hospitals was even bombed by the United States aggression in Syria.
Right.
So this is a great way to do something about it.
And this isn't the first bit of political work that you've been working on that we've discussed. Maybe
right.
You could give people an idea of some of the things you've been involved with in New York.
I'm best known as an independent publisher and the founder of Soft Skull Press. We took on the Bush family in 1999, trying to prevent George W. Bush from taking power and stealing an election. And
nice try.
we republished a book called Fortunate Son by the late, great Jim Hatfield. Since went on to become a writer of the truth about the 9/11 attacks. I've done two books on that subject. My most recent book is called Slingshot to the Juggernaut, in which I also try to explore direct action spirituality as an alternative to aggression and insanity and genocide.
What is that? What's direct action spirituality?
Oh, yeah, I know exactly. What is it? I know. I try to meditate a lot. I try to question my own illusions. I try to do things that I'm trying to get society to do. So I try to make it personal and political. So I try not to live by a me first, me-aholic kind of attitude in which my opinion is God's holy truth. And, I just try to get my own ego out of the way as a way to kind of build up my incandescent compassion. You know, I think we're all capable of a really bright, luminous compassion. And I kind of came across this phrase somewhere, incandescent compassion. And that's why this event on March 15th is called Incandescent Compassion. So I think we're all capable of an incredible, powerful, bright, new way, nonviolence. I've been talking a lot in my most recent book about how the USA really could be a leader of nonviolence. You know, we could be like Ashoka, the president of India in 300 BC. It was this guy who actually said, nonviolence is not just a great spiritual practice in our spiritual lineage, but it's actually a great political practice, And so India became this country of nonviolence. And that's why on the Indian flag, it has this big wheel, and it's the wheel of Ashoka. So it's time for the USA to reorient itself you know, redirect itself. And I think the Eastern traditions of that Orient word are a great guidepost. You know, so I think our rigid Christianity is up for a revolutionary change, to be influenced by yoga, by Zen, by meditation. And, you know, and I love Jesus. I'm not saying that Christianity is part of the problem. I think actually it's part of the solution. But I think, like Gandhi said, I think the we don't need a new religion, but there is great truth and nonviolence at the core of the world's great religions as they exist right now. Even Islam is like all about surrender to the will of the all, the divine that is uniting, a uniting force of truth. So that is, you know, I feel that the phrase direct action is not out of place either. You know, I'm the guy that built the big altar for Occupy Wall Street and donated this giant piece of maple and cherry wood. And we, you know, had this kind of this altar in which it was very democratic. Anybody could put something on the altar and it became very cluttered in a beautiful way of this collaborative artwork that was about almost like a collective direct action spirituality. Mm-hmm. And so direct action of like an immediate dropping away of illusion, an immediate attempt to connect is kind of like the spirit of Occupy, and it's the spirit of what I'm all about too.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds more like the word spiritual would relate to cultural rather than metaphysical, which is an interesting spin on it. Looking at some of the other things, I know the referendum that you've worked on a few times over the years.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's. I'm glad you asked about that.
It's direct action.
Yeah. You're probably talking about trying to get a new investigation of 9/11. We've had a couple of different ballot referendums in the history of activism in New York City. And now I'm still working with HR14.org and Les Jamison, because there's actually, I mean, it's pretty incredible, but there's a very mainstream piece of legislation in Congress. There's like, it's got bipartisan support. There's over 42 congressional supporters now, people that are in Congress, elected members of Congress who are backing this. And this is to release the 28 pages. This is what the 28 pages were from Congress's joint inquiry report into 9/11, the predecessor of the 9/11 Commission report. And you might have heard about this. It's pretty famous because Moore talks a little bit about this.
Well,
this
one senator said if that had been public, a whole bunch of things that have been happening in Libya, Syria, et cetera, would never have happened.
Exactly. Senator Bob Graham said that ISIS as we know it today would not exist. And so you're like, what? You know, yep. Senator Bob Graham, this is like, you know, you can't get much more mainstream than that. But this is a guy who's been he was a Florida senator. He was asking the right questions early on. You know, he was angry that Bush censored these 28 pages. I mean, and I'm not a Trump supporter, but even Donald Trump made kind of an oblique reference to this. And I wish he had named the 28 pages specifically. I wish he had a little bit more intellectual rigor about this and had said, you know, but.
Well, like his candidacy, you know, the fact that he felt compelled to bring it out means that, you know, there's a substantial part of the disaffected voting population that is aware of it and feels likewise.
Exactly. And he knew he had to dispatch Jeb Bush because Jeb Bush was, you know, is so powerful and so connected and had so much money and just didn't have any kind of charisma or good politics.
Right.
But I enjoyed watching Trump destroy Jeb Bush, and he used 9/11 several times in the past 6 months to do it.
Right. Yeah. Trump and Sanders both are sort of sitting on top of this huge wave of public discontent that's almost inchoate. It's, you know, you can't really call them movements. They're more like a pair of blobs almost. They're so amorphous. But the anger and discontent is deep and structural.
Exactly. And just because Occupy Wall Street is no longer in the headlines, that same energy is still there.
That's right. As a matter of fact, a lot of people from Occupy Wall Street have moved into Sanders' campaign and some into Trump's as well.
Oh, absolutely. I don't doubt it for a second, but probably mostly into Sanders' campaign. I see it a lot. In fact, everybody I run into in New York City is a Sanders supporter. And I think actually, you know, the part of my message has got to be to the people, the Democratic establishment who are backing Hillary. I cannot see why you would back Hillary. I can't see what she's done, and I can see her political vulnerabilities. Did you know, Don, even in the Ken Starr report, there was some sort of legal loophole where the people that were trying to get the truth out about witness intimidation in the Vince Foster investigation, they actually got this attachment to the Ken Starr report that talked about Patrick Knowlton, and he was there when the body of Vince Foster was dumped. This was early in the Clinton presidency. They fired the director of the FBI on the same day that Hillary's alleged lover, the White House counsel, Vincent Foster, was found dead across the river in a Arlington Park. Right. And he was found dead of an alleged suicide, but they didn't find the body with a gun. And they didn't find he allegedly drove himself there, but they didn't find the body with any car keys. And it's just super creepy. And Vince Foster goes way back to the Arkansas Rose Law Firm with Hillary. And yeah. Anyway, Hillary's political vulnerabilities are huge. Did you know, Don, Hillary also testified at the Iran-Contra hearings? Did you know that?
I didn't remember that for sure. I don't know if I ever knew it.
Yeah. She was, because of Rose Law Firm, and Rose Law Firm was defending some of the tenants right. at the MENA airport. MENA airport, was long rumored to
transshipment for drugs, yeah.
Connected to cocaine and Honduras. And
right.
It's super creepy. The Clintons are super creepy, and they're connected to this big money. It's the worst side of the Democratic Party establishment. And she's got these political connections to Kissinger, Dr. Strangelove, the basis for Dr. Strangelove in the Kubrick movie of the same name. So,
And her daughter, I just saw something go by today. Her daughter is best friends with Trump's daughter.
Be great if Chelsea was a Bernie Sanders supporter.
Hold your breath on that.
Chelsea comes out. I'm with Bernie. Feel the burn.
Okay. All right. So let's go back to the event. Give us a plug.
Okay, great. Well, March 15th, everybody has to come out. It's going to be a great event. It's Jeffrey Lewis, one of the most brilliant, humorous, politically savvy singer-songwriters, with David Rovix, who's one of the more eloquent, passionate, anti-war, pro-peace, historically... He does some great investigative reporting into history through his songs. So those are our two headliners. My band, White Collar Crime, is playing, and we're not too shabby. And then there's Mobile Steam Unit. It was a great art rock band. Everybody's favorite poet, Sparrow, will be reading. And if that as if that wasn't enough, Don, we have Deanne Killian on her hammer dulcimer. She's kind of like this Lucinda Williams. She's actually great because she's done a lot of work with Brooklyn NVC, Nonviolent Communication, Compassionate Communication, and is really trying to heal the world in her own way, and also uses music to do it.
Yeah, I like that.
Quick plug, March 15th, right. 7 p.m. start time, pianos. It's on Ludlow Street, just south of Stanton, in the good old Lower East Side of New York, New York.
And the name of it is? The name of the venue?
Pianos. The old piano store. Pianos. Gotcha. Please, people, buy tickets in advance. This show will sell out. We have a huge, huge bill. Most of the acts can draw half of the audience by themselves. So
Help us fill it up. Yeah, right. Yeah. Where can we find tickets on the internet?
Pianos. Just Google pianos, and there's a link to the tickets. Buying capacity on the pianos website. So just like it sounds, Google pianos, Ludlow Street. Our event is March 15th, Tuesday night. We've got some great co-sponsors. We're looking at Code Pink, maybe Brooklyn for Peace. We're talking to a whole bunch of people. Oh, HR14.org is going to co-sponsor it for sure. Talking to a whole bunch of progressive groups. So again, get tickets in advance, people. The show is going to be like Woodstock 3.
And this is for the benefit of MSF, Doctors Without Borders, and we like to thank you, Sandra Hicks. A pleasure as always.
Ron, it's been great being back on your show. Let's do it again.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot. Okay.